Just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank Him right now. Hallelujah. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory. No matter what obstacle, hallelujah, I will let nothing, hallelujah, deter me from blessing His name. Hallelujah. Lifting up the name above all names. Hallelujah. No matter what it might be. Lord, we stand here tonight, dear God, Lord, from a place of standing, God. Not out of the state of what we might feel, but out of who I am in You, God. Lord, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm highly favored. Hallelujah. Lord, the greatness of You is upon Your people, God. Lord, and we come here tonight to give You glory. We've come to bless You, God. We've come to give You, hallelujah, all the praise You deserve, God. We thank You, God. We thank You. We bless You, God. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, bless somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. You may be seated. Can go to the classes. Come on. Tell somebody you're glad they're here. Come on, hallelujah, amen, amen, hallelujah. Listen, we don't let nothing deter us. Amen? Let's what we do here. We're just gonna continue to, no matter what, we press in. There's no matter what obstacle, no matter what detour. Come on, amen, we're getting to what God has for us. Amen? Amen? Amen, hallelujah. You can have a little snack. So welcome everybody on Facebook. Come on, let them know you're happy they're here. Amen? Come on. We had, apologize those on Facebook that couldn't see the worship. We have, because of the CDs and stuff, you can't always play it, whatever. I'm not going to get into it, but just, we had a lot going on this weekend. A lot of stuff. I thank you for the praise team. I know everybody was available to be here, but we just, there's a lot going on. So we come and bless you. Brought your praise. Amen. You're the praise team. Amen. You're blessed the Lord. Amen. Thank you for blessing God and thank you for blessing His holy name. There's things sometimes bigger than just our circumstances where we are right now. I want you to hear this. I want us to come to a place that I feel that even in our prayers from where we are, we don't come from where our state of where we are. Because sometimes there's emotions, there's feelings that you have. And if we live from our state, you will always be overwhelmed. If you live from your emotions, if you live from the state of your being, you could be discouraged. But I don't live from there. And neither do you. Because we live from our standing. Come on, help me tonight. We live from our standing, and my standing is the standing that I have in Jesus Christ. Oh, I want you to hear this. Come on, amen. Get ready. I want us to live, a people, from a standing that I have in Jesus Christ. Come on, then. That the standing that I have with Him because of the cross, because of what He did for me, and what He wants to do through me. Come on, amen. As His body, amen. That I live from that place of standing. Because you will, if you live your life from a place, from the state of your being, you will be overwhelmed, you'll be discouraged, you'll live angry, you'll live mad. But if I live from a place of my standing in Christ, I'm loved by Him. I'm never forsaken by Him. He is always with me. Always. So we learn to live from our standing. Come on, do you get that tonight? That's free. Listen, a family, real quick. A family went to Israel and took his mother-in-law and they get to Israel and as they're there, the mother-in-law passes away. And the funeral director asked the father, son-in-law says, what do I do? He says, it's $5,000 to send her back to America, or it's $800 to bury her in Jerusalem. And he says, send her back to America. He says, $5,000. You know, he says, $800 in the Holy Land. You know, she could be buried here. Send her back. He says, if you don't mind me asking, why? He says, I don't know if you know this or not, but 2,000 years ago, a man died here and rose from the grave. I can't take that chance. I had a great mother-in-law, so that was, come on, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for this word right now. I pray right now that our ears be open. Come on, amen. That we lay aside whatever it might be and we just listen, hallelujah, to what God the Father has to say to us right now to equip us. To equip us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Listen, when I say we need to live from a standard, I can't get away from this. I want you to hear this. Whatever seems a difficult moment or something that you don't understand and you try to figure out and it might make you angry, you have to live from your standing and say, God, what do you want me to learn in this? I want you to hear this. Because there's so many times where difficult things come my way and I don't know. I have to ask the question, Father, what are you teaching me? What is this? Because this is a moment of revelation. Come on. Because God does not take anything that you go through in life and waste it. Come on. Any hurt, any rejection that comes your way, God uses it. He uses it. He uses it for His glory. Your life is not wasteful. Come on. Every moment, every heartbeat, God uses it for His glory. God uses it for His glory. So in the moments that you stop and you say and you react in that moment, am I going to be overwhelmed? Am I going to be upset? Or am I going to say, God, what are you revealing to me? What do you want to show me? What do you want to be to me? Well, maybe this is a difficulty, a place that I need a healing. God, Lord, what do you want to reveal to me? That you're my healer? God, Lord, I'm a place of poverty or brokenness right now, or whatever that might be. God, Lord, you want to show me you're my provider? Whatever it might be, wherever we are, every moment is valuable. And you are unique and you're valuable, every single one of you. You got to realize this. Valuable. Give yourself a clap. Some of you are like, I want to clap, but come on, clap. Come on, amen. You're worthy. You're good. You're worthy because He makes you worthy. All right, good. Randy, you can kill that. Let's look up John real quick. Just help me out real quick. John 16, 34. It says this. 13, 34. He says, and a new testament I give to you, a new testament I give unto you, that you love one another. Amen. This is a new standard that He gives us. He gives us His standard on how to love. Tell someone this is how you love. Listen, the world does not have this standard. It doesn't live by this standard. Amen. So we got to look to the one who is love. He is love. And we got to see how to love. Come on, amen. We got to see how to love. And tonight this is called the body of Christ, but this part of it is this. I wrote this down. Sorry. Love like Jesus. Tell someone love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. And I want to help you to see what that looks like. I want to love like Jesus. I don't always do that. I don't always live that way, but it's so important for us to love like Jesus because the way that we evangelize the world is this, that we love one another. And by our love for each other, by this intensity that we have for one another, come on, amen, that we preferring one another greater than it, that's not the standard of the world. Come on, amen. We reject one another. We walk on one another. We walk past one another. We don't emotionally involve ourselves in one another in either situations or hurts or pains, whatever that might be. But Jesus tells us, I want you to love one another. And He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We gotta love one another. Amen? I gotta love one another. Amen? So we can look and we can see that church, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, if you're in a tough marriage, it's sometimes hard, but I want you to see this, that church is like marriage. And sometimes marriages, church can be like marriages and marriages can be like church. But we have to look from our standing in Christ. God says love. your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't always love my wife as Christ loved the church. I need to. Don't look down on me. Come on. Don't leave me hanging here. Yeah. Now, sometimes we don't. Sometimes why? Because sometimes why? We're selfish. But here, listen, I want you to get this and understand something. Don't hate church. Come on, don't hate church. Don't hate church. Don't hate marriage. Some people are disagreeing. They come against marriage. They come against the whole family unit. You know why? Because this is the thing that God uses, come on, amen, to give glory to who He is, that in the midst of these things, these can become testing grounds. These can become moments in our lives to build us character in our lives. I know that when I first got married, I thought I was patient and I married my wife. And I realized I wasn't patient. But I began to learn patience. I began to prefer her. See, God brought us to a place that we begin to grow and you begin to mature. That He uses marriages just like He uses church. Church is a place where that we begin to mature. That we grow up into Christ. That we become, listen, we become selfless. Come on, amen. See, we grow into a place of maturity that we prefer one another over. Right. That we prefer one another more than ourselves. See, that's different than the world. They're longing for it, whether they tell you or not. They're looking for someone to love them unconditionally. To love them beyond their faults, beyond their failures. Come on, that will love them, that will lead the way. That image. So marriage, it makes us holy. It makes me holy. It perfects me. It causes me to iron out some things. We don't like to iron out things. I don't always like to iron. I don't iron very much, do I? No. I'm like, caveman, yeah. So Colossians 3, let's just get this real quick. I just want to share this with you because I just want to take time and just give me a few minutes at the end of service to come downstairs just to say hi to somebody. That's all. You know what I mean? Just take time for 1 minute to invest into somebody. Here's Colossians 3. It says, forbearing one another. Last week we talked about this. Forbearing means to put up with one another. Come on. Come on. We learn to, and not just to stay in a place where that we just put up with one. No. That we put up with one another and we're not willing to ditch one another. Come on. The world ditches people. When marriages don't work, you ditch your husband. When marriage doesn't work out, you ditch your wife. When things don't work out, kids ditch their parents. Don't ever do that to me. Or whatever that might be, you ditch one another. Come on, amen. That's what the world does. If it just doesn't work out, come on, what happens in church that if they don't offer what they want or what doesn't work for them, they'll ditch their church? I've seen you looking at other churches. I've looked at a real nice church in Florida. No, but I'm joking. But listen, yeah, I'm joking. No. But no, I mean, because listen, you ditch one another. You ditch, you get rover. Instead of working things out, being in this covenant relationship that you realize that God has brought you here sovereignly, that one another, that I'm here at this moment, that God set me free, come on, to bring me here, that you're here, that one another, that you got something to offer me, and I got something to offer you, that together, hallelujah, we come into this unit, and we can be able to create this ointment and this anointing together. Come on, do you know that's why sometimes it feels hard? That's why sometimes it feels like it seems hard because things come against that. Because that anointing heals. That anointing changes lives. It sets people free. He will not mess with people that just go through the motions. Just go through the motions of life and oh, it's this or that. But no, but people that are serious, that begin to stand on God's word and won't give up. People that won't move from the standing with God's covenant and come into agreement that aren't willing to let it aside. People that come into covenant when you offend me that I turn my cheek and say, You know what that does? That affects somebody. When they see you turn their cheek and not respond the way that the world does, they say, my, wow. And the conviction that they feel because of that overwhelms them. He says, if it has to be, this kind of love has to be through the Spirit. You cannot love. We can't love one another in the flesh. I can't. You can't. We get frustrated. We'll ditch one another. The world says, you know, I hear it so many times. People say, you know what? I just care about my own few people and to hell with the world. Everything's working out for me, so to hell with the world. But God looks to and fro. For someone with his heart. Yes. Someone that'll love. Come on, amen. Someone that'll love. Someone that'll bear his heart and his image and likeness in the earth. Come on. That will overwhelm darkness with light. Come on. That will shed, hallelujah, this kindness and mercy upon people that don't deserve it. Come on, amen. Just like I didn't deserve it. But they're willing to show mercy when mercy isn't to be given. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Or somebody deserving. So, just like us, I don't want to get into that. I just want to jump this Psalms 133 after this, but let me finish this. He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave, you forgive. And above all, say above all, put on love. It can't work without putting love on. It cannot put without putting Christ on, without walking in the Spirit. Without walking in the reality of Christ is in me. I can't do this on my own. And he says, and which is the bond of perfectness. That means completes you, fills you up. This love is what fills me up. This love is what is this love that fills me up and then fills you up. It's when I love other people. Come on, amen. When I begin to love like Christ does, there's something fulfilling in that. There's something in it. When I begin to walk in the Spirit and I love others, hallelujah. There's something powerful in that. There's something filling in my life. It's completing in my life. So, Psalms 133, jump here real quick. Y'all know this. You ready? Say, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How pleasant. Tell someone it's pleasant. Listen, that means this, that God's telling you this. There's something about the fabric of coming into unity. Okay, there's something about that that's pleasant. That when two can walk together and agree. That when you walk with this friction, did you ever walk in somewhere with it, man, you walk into a place and you just, you feel like you have to get to know that person all over again? You've known them for years. Come on, and they're so standoffish where that they kind of have this wall. Come on, you've been there where they're like this wall and you've got to break through this wall to get to know that person again. But the Bible says there's this unity, there's this pleasantness where you come together with it. You can be separated from another and you come back together again and there's this union, there's this unity, there's this pleasantness that you receive from one another. Come on, there's this healing. And he says, how pleasant it is for brother to gather together in unity. It's like the precious ointment. Wow. Upon the head. There's an ointment, there's an anointing oil that was placed upon it. And it talks about how that it's a compound. Say compound. That means there's an ingredients coming together. And every one of them individually might not be very important. But when each one of these ointments that came together and it was costed something because they were crushed. They were gathered just like every one of you and they were brought to this moment and they were pressed together, compounded together to create an anointing that flowed down the beard of Aaron. And it speaks of a priesthood. It speaks of this unity that comes together with this unity, that healing comes when there's a unity. And in that unity, there's a blessing that's a command from God. When there's a union together of people, there is a command that's released from God. That a word is spoken. That when you come in agreement together with God's word and with one another, I want you to understand something. Hear me tonight. Every one of us, and I'm preaching this in the next couple weeks on Wednesdays, the greatness, that we're created for greatness. But every one of us are an individual word. Every single one of us are a word from God. Tell someone I'm a word from God. And this is why we got to understand that, listen, when we're children, if Christ is in me, the word is in me. And we got to know that if that word's in me, there's something unique, that God has a purpose within me, a divine purpose, that the word of God, that word is within me. There's a divine word within me. And to myself, it's good. But I get another word. And I begin to get a sentence. And then I get, add some more sentences and I get a paragraph. And what didn't make sense? Here's the problem. Do you know why the church doesn't always make sense? It's because people have not combined their words together of who they are in Christ to make sense to the world. So that the world can read them. Come on, amen. That they can look and say, oh, I understand that they're loved one for another. Come on, and that they come in agreement with the word. Come on. I come in agreement with the assignment of God that's in your life and oneness with that. I won't come against that word that God has designed you to release, but I'm going to come in one witness with that, and it begins to build a paragraph. And then all of a sudden you have a chapter. And then you got a book, and then all of a sudden, Jesus says, I come in the volume. In the volume of the book. Say thank you, Jesus. Come on, that's powerful when we could see that and understand that. I wanted to go in Exodus and talk about the curtains, where the curtains were in front of the holy, most holy place of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. And there's such significant of that they were entwined together. You understand that God's got this beautiful story of this pleasantness that we have together. See, God wants us to walk through life together with one another, that, man, your sorrow becomes my sorrow, that your pain is my pain. And sometimes we live so closed up and we get mad at the church because instead of being a place where they're open with one another, to let one another in one another's lives, that we can invest and we can speak and we can encourage and we can strengthen. Come on, I'm guilty myself sometimes too. Sometimes we try to be Superman. We try to lead by example and let nobody know my failures or my problems. Instead of being able, you know why? Because we can't be vulnerable to one another sometimes. Because people will ditch you. But if people can come together in unity, it's pleasant. It's like the oil that comes down. The body. It brings healing and it commands. Do you hear me? It commands blessing. It said, whoever touches the body is healed. That's my heart right there. He said, listen, tell someone we're getting there. Come on. Let's jump back real quick to Colossians. I just want to give you a few things here. I just think this is important. I want to finish this part. And it says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called. Say, I'm called into one body and be thankful. I'm not asking you if you're not happy with your body, tell me. I told my wife the other day, I said, do I look really feel large, really fat to you lately? Am I a lot bigger than I normally is? So what I did was, she never says it, so I asked somebody that is blunt. Yeah, you are a little bigger, you know. And then immediately I regretted even asking. Tell your neighbor, you look beautiful. So he says, you are called. And that word, the church, means this. I want you to get this. Ecclesia. Say ecclesia. An ecclesia is a compound of two words. And ek means out. And lesia, or kaleo, means ekla, means to call. To call out. So we have been called out from the world into the body. Come on, amen. We are called out. We are the called out of God. So this is what God has called us to do, to be called out from the world, to be part of the body, to be thankful. So let's check this out and see what this is saying to us. Ephesians 4. Let's just go through these scriptures real quick. I just want to give these. All right? Ephesians 4. Therefore. I always, whenever it says therefore, it makes me nervous. What's it there for? Thank you. Good, Bill. The prisoner of the Lord. Say prisoner. What's a prisoner? Now, listen, this really makes the world uncomfortable, because they think we gotta have our this and that and all this and that. But he's saying, I am a prisoner of the Lord. He's making a declaration. Come on, he's showing this, just like I told you a few weeks ago, where that I thought I had a negotiation ability with God. And God told me, how are you negotiating with me? You're dead. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. I have no negotiating ability. I gave my life. I can't take it back. So Paul was saying, I'm a prisoner of Christ. A prisoner releases or forfeits their... I want you to get this and understand something. I am more free than I've ever been in Christ, because I've released what I thought was valuable. And my right to be mad, my right to be angry, my right to be ashamed, my right to whatever that right might feel like I have, when I am willing to be a prisoner of God and relinquish that right, I begin to live. Amen. When I relinquish it, when I let it go, but when I hold on to it, I'm a prisoner of that. Amen? So he says, this is how he starts off talking about church. He says, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called. It doesn't say vacation. We are not to go on vacation from our calling. I hear sometimes, and I've said it myself, is I just need to get away. I want you to know that sometimes that's nice to get away, but listen, peace does not come by me getting away. Peace comes by the Word of God. Amen. Peace comes by His presence. I need to get His presence to get peace. I need to get refreshed in His presence. That's the only place I really get any rest. Amen? He says, and worthy of your vocation, not vacation, wherewith you are called, wherewith lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Tell someone, try hard. Man, he says, listen, I ask you, endeavor to do this, because it's for your good. Because why? Because in unity, it's pleasant. There's something about that. He says, endeavor to do that. When God tells us you need to endeavor to keep the unity, say keep it. You need to keep it. You need to guard it. You need to protect it. And whatever comes against it, you need to reject it. Amen? Amen. He says, and there's one body. Say one body. If we're confused, because listen, I want you to know, unfortunately, how many churches are there? There's thousands of different streams. That when somebody, do you know why there's so many? It's because somebody got offended. And somebody ditched another one. That's the truth. That's why there's so many churches, is because we've ditched one another. So, but he says there's one body. Say one body. He says that, and one spirit, even as you are called in hope of your calling to be one. That's your calling. Your calling is to be one. Your calling is to come together and be one. I want you to get this. If you study the Word of God, I want to help you because I want you to get this. When you study the Word of God, and you look at a word, and you begin to look at something, you begin to look, and that scripture never speaks of itself. It's always pointing to another. See, listen, the more that I've studied the Word of God, the more that I understand this. It's never one scripture unto itself. Every scripture points to another. So when you study this, you'll see this and realize that, oh, there's linings in between. You want me to tell you, explain to you what each one of these ones, it'll tell you that you could find this, and this is in Ephesians, and you see the reference to that scripture in another scripture. Never one to itself, always one to another. See, God just doesn't tell you something. He follows the rules. Amen? See, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all. He's what? He's above all, he's through all, and he's in all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ, of the gift of Christ. Say measure. Measure. What do I do with the measure? What am I doing with the measure? We are to grow in Christ. And what do I do with the measure? Amen? He says, verse 7, it says that it talks about us being unique. That my measure, my uniqueness, I'm special to the body. You're special to the body. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says that we are lively stones. Every one of us. That we're not just bricks. Bricks are common. They all look the same. But we are to be lively stones. And you know, a stone, when I take a stone and I cut the stone to fit a particular place. And do you know how much time and effort it takes me to cut the stone? To take it and cut it, to form it to the way that it fits into that area that it needs to be. How many of you guys know that God has fitly placed you to be a tabernacle unto Him? A lively stone. Am I making sense? All right. Let's jump back to Colossians. I'm almost done. Like I said, I want to spend some time together with you. All right? Last week I had to leave a little early. It says, and let the word, this is a Colossians 3:16, let the word, say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Dwell, let it dwell, let it fill you up to overflowing. Let the word of Christ, listen, I have nothing to say of myself. I have to let the word of God, take hold of the word of God and let it fill me up. Amen. I need to come from that place to let the word of God overflow me. Now I want you to get this. We are called the body of Christ. A body is a container. Christ is the content. This is a container, but inside of it is water, the content. That we are to be filled with the Word of God, with wisdom, with understanding. Amen? He says, in teaching and admonishing one another, discipling one another, investing into somebody's, listen, that's something that we don't see today. That's something that we have a hard time connecting. We get our own lives, we go to our work, and come on, we get in rhythm. Say, I get in rhythm. Come on, we get in rhythm, man, and you get tired, and man, you don't, oh, I gotta make that investment to go be with somebody or spend some time with, sometimes it's hard to do. But Jesus is showing here that you need to admonish one another. Come on, amen. You need to, because that's where life begins. Come on, amen. This is where life begins. That we come together and it's pleasant and you begin to get some purpose in life and realize there's something greater than just living unto yourself. We end up consuming ourselves with our own lives. He says, one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. You have to do it in the name. Say in the name. In the name of Jesus. And in that name, we are one. I think that really helps us to understand that we have to teach this, because if we don't understand it, we'll consume one another. We'll hurt one another. But I got to realize that you're part of the body. You're part of this body together, collectively. And you're valuable. Listen, John, let me finish with this. Maybe I'm going to play something, Randy. I'm going to finish here. Jesus gives us this example. This is in John 19:25, and this really arrested me. There's times where that word arrests you. And I'm always trying to find in the Word of God where that Jesus demonstrates this love that we have. But nothing demonstrates this love like this. Nothing. Nothing demonstrates the kind of love that we're to have for one another. And I want you to understand something, that it begins with family. It begins with the body. The Bible says in Matthew 13:50, it says that what you do to your brother. Your brother's in the Lord. To love one another as a family. Say family. See, families, even blood families, fall apart eventually. But spiritual families are eternal. You're stuck with me. If you ditch me now, I promise you, you're going to see me in heaven. So, it starts at home. This is a picture of love. And he says this, and he says, now, picture this. Here's Jesus, and he's out on the cross. He's displayed upon the cross upon in front of everybody. And the people that are there, it tells you specifically who are there. Everybody else left. Say everybody left. Everybody ditched them. But this is a picture of love. This is a real picture of love. Because the only people left was Mary. Come on, amen. And let me read it to you. He says, and there stood at the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. He says, and the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene.
And Jesus therefore saw his mother. So here it is right here, guys. In the midst of this agony, in the midst of this display of where he was, in that moment he made contact, eye contact with his mother and identified with her pain. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand that, listen, there's moments you don't understand why you're emotionally drained or you're going through things in life are emotionally hard. See, he looked at her face and this was emotionally distressful for her. She went through so much distress all of her life because of Jesus. And he knew it. From the moment he was born, the rejection that he felt from everybody that she felt, that she told, hey, listen, I'm pregnant with God's kid and I'm a virgin. She was rejected by everybody. She was almost rejected by her husband unless the angel came and deterred him from walking away. And then after that moment, here then, she faced this emotional drain whenever she stood at the temple and she walked there to get her son circumcised. And the guy comes walking up to her and he says, hey, I want to tell you something. Takes her aside and says, listen, your son is going to suffer immense pain. And by the way, so are you. So here's this emotional drain, but she keeps going. Look like that, man. And then even to top that out, that at 2 years old, Herod decided he was going to kill every baby under two. So she had to leave because all those babies died because of her baby. What kind of guilt? So here's what Jesus is looking at. He's looking at this emotional pain. Don't tell me that God does not associate with your pain and your emotions or your hurt. I'm telling you, he does. Because he was in the most place of distress and he identified with her pain. He was dealing with the saving the world, literally. And he took a moment to touch the emotional pain of his mother. The same mother that his hometown, they rejected him. And they tried to throw him off a cliff. She had to go back home to those people and live with them. People that were going to kill her son. That's love. Jesus was, he was touched. He says, I see your pain. I know the emotional investment that you've made into me. And he says this. He says, and when Jesus saw it, he loved, standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. And then saith he to the disciple, and John wrote this, and John doesn't even say it was me. He just calls himself his disciple. That's why he was his best friend. He said this, behold thy mother. And for that hour the disciple took her unto his own. He took that moment to do that. To deal with her emotion, her pain. Man, I want you to think about this. I want you to see this, that I wrote this down, that everybody else was gone. Jesus gave to her emotionally. He invested into her pain. Sometimes our pain is so strong that, listen, do you know what pain makes you do? Become selfish. I know that when I'm in pain and I'm hurting, I want her to pamper me. To take care of me endlessly. I'm a baby. I become selfish. Just like we do. But this moment, Jesus could have said, are you serious? I'm dealing with something here. I'm on the cross. I mean, I know you're scarred. But I'm scarred. So I want you to see something. Jesus put her pain in front of his pain. That's what love looks like. To put her pain in front of his pain. He didn't stop there because he looked to his right. And he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And then he looked at those ones that beat him, that ripped the clothes off him, ripped the skin, beat him, and said, forgive him. That's what love looks like. That's what Jesus expects from us, to love that way. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, that we don't become selfish, self-centered, but become more loving. And begin to get our focus off our pain and our problem that there might be real. And begin to invest in somebody else's hurt. That's what Jesus showed us to do. In his most passionate, hurtful moment, he found somebody to emotionally involve himself with. And I want to help you. Would you stand to your feet? This is what love looks like, man. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but it says this. It says, let us draw near with the true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Wow. By the word of God. See, because we get selfish, we get self-promoting, and we need to be washed by God's word. We need to let him wash us, sprinkle us with his blood, hallelujah, so that I could be effective to others. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. Let me not waver with you. I don't want to waver with you. I don't want to waver. I don't want to stop. I want to continue. We want to walk together, be one with one another. I don't want to waver in my faith and believing in who you are. Sometimes the way we act amongst each other, we deter one another, but don't waver in your faith to what God's invested in. And he says, and without wavering, for he is faithful that he promised, and that he let us consider one another, and to provoke. I can't get away from this, because we provoke people to do so many things. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus gave us an example to provoke one another to love. That provokes me to love the way he loves. And to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. Not forsaking the assembly of one another. But as we come together, as we agree one another, we don't waver, but we come to this place with it, we exhort one another, that I provoke one another in love, that what happens is when I provoke you to love, we begin to assemble ourselves together and make sense to the world. But exhorting one another so much the more as the day approaching of Christ, the maturing, the revealing of who he is. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, strength upon this body. I thank you for these unique individuals, these lively stones that are creating assembly, hallelujah, gathered together to glorify your name, God. That we can come together, hallelujah, with one purpose, and it's you. It's not my agenda, it's not my plans, but God, Lord, it's all about you. And glorifying your name. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. Guys, I just encourage you to do this. Let's invest in one another. Take a moment and find somebody to call. Here. Start here. Emotionally invest yourself into somebody. Text somebody. Give them a word of encouragement during the week. Stand with them. Whatever they're going through, Invest your time with that. It's not a burden. It's life with Christ. Amen.
And we'll declare with all of our hearts that we are highly favored. Amen. God's knocking. Open up and let Him in. Amen. Thank you for watching.